It's time to link up for Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.
Morena Desley.
Morena Rosetta Moreno Malley. What a great busy time our great city is having.
Yes, we've heard you've had a very busy week.
Oh, look, it's all go in Tamaki Makaurau. We have the Auckland Arts Festival on, which just means we have a cacophony of exciting, brilliant things to do. Some are free, some have a small fee attached to them, but it just means that our city is buzzing with arts and culture, and it's great. I mean, from the I Love Tamaki Instagrammable sign that's in Aotea, Square that is looks fantastic during the day, but even more fantastic at night. To some of the shows, last night I went to La Ronda, which I tell you made me feel quite arthritic. These people are able to do things that I don't think my joints and body could ever do, let alone now. But set fantastic. And actually, tomorrow night I'm going to I'm talking to you guys, and you do music. I'm going to a great show, 27 Club, and. For at the age of 27 years of age, the likes of Janis Joplin, Amy Winehouse, Kurt Cobain, Jim Morrison, Jimi Hendrix all became fantastic musicians, music immortals, basically. So it's a rockumentary about their lives and contribution to music. So that should be fantastic. So it's all go, as I said, free and paid. If you haven't seen Helios, you have to see it. You know, this is a big sun installation. It's free and it's at the concert chamber in the town hall. It's 6 metres in diameter. And you just go in and you can lie down. If you're lucky, you'll time it with the orchestra playing. But it is, it's huge and it's a representative of the sun. And it's like 72 dpi dots per inch, DPIs, which is tiny, tiny little dots will make up the sun. And it glows beautifully, and it's just a zen moment, you know, if you just need a moment away from the hustle and bustle. So you add all this into the normal council life I lead, and it's just all go in the big city, and it's fantastic. Loving it.
Lots to talk about. I want to start with a little bit of a recap on where things are at with PC120, because I know that last time we talked, we just sort of heard the news that central government was keen to make some reforms, and so we couldn't really talk too much about it. But now we've got the Policy Planning and Development Committee has agreed on some principles on how those changes will happen. Tell us about these principles and what they will mean for the process going forward.
Yeah, look, it's all still a bit vague, if I was honest with you. But if you remember, you're quite right. It went from a housing capacity of that magic 2 million, you know, and I say magic because that was if every single property in Auckland was developed to its full potential, that's what it would do. And they've dropped that down to 1.6. So how then do have we responded to that? Because the government said, well, we'll drop it down. We've heard from people that it was two figures too high, so we'll drop it down. How are you going to implement that? How are you going to change the plan that you put out to accommodate the 1.6? And, of course, that's a bit tricky, isn't it? Because we've gone out to Aucklanders and we've told them it's two. We've done maps based on the two. But so we went for a number of principles, and that was due, and they were due to be sent to the minister. Well, we have sent them, but that was due on the 17th of March. So literally, it's only a couple of days ago. But the principles were, we kept the downzoning for natural hazards. I think that was a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. We all remember the floods, and we know that Auckland just cannot have density or built environment around areas that we know we flood. We have retained the mandatory intensification provided for being able to walk what they call walkable catchments, you know, walk to the stations at the likes of Mungerfowl, Kingsland, Morningside, Mount Albert, Balvanev. And it's a requirement anyway in what they call the National Policy Statement on Urban Development. So we've kept that. We've retained the intensification that maximised our investment in the CRL, so obviously intensification around the CRL and associated stations, right? We decreased, so we're looking at the decreases now. So then we decreased housing capacity using a distance of more than 10 kilometres from the city centre as a starting point. this is a bit moot really in the discussion, because the 10 kilometres wasn't defined, or whether it was 10 kilometres as the crow flies, you know, like a central point, say, in Queen Street, and 10 kilometres right round in a circle, or whether it was 10 kilometres by road, or exactly what that was. But the sort of the theory was you need more density closer to the city than you needed potentially in the outskirts. And, and as I said, that was a bit interesting, because there are places within a 10-kilometre radius that aren't close to transport routes and whatever, so which may well go down from MHU to MHS. So, you know, but anyway, that's what we decided. We decreased housing capacity through reassessing the intensification along corridors, starting with the lower-ranked bus corridors. So everyone agrees that you should have intensification along major transport routes. Obviously, the bus routes are being one of them. But if you had to reduce that target, you would look at the bus routes that were had the least usage, wouldn't you? You know, so you start going down, decrease down there, and you keep the higher ones on the more frequent corridors. And the obvious one is decreasing the amount of mixed housing urban in areas which don't have good access to public transport, and I referenced that when I was talking about the 10Ks. And then providing a buffer from the minimum 1.6 to enable the hearings panel to have a little bit of flexibility. You know, so for example, you know, maybe the final number might be, you know, 1.6.5, you know, or something, just depending. But I mean, if you look at where it's all ending up, it's kind of going to be really interesting, because we know that our population is now about kind of, I think they're saying it's about 1.8 now, just over 1.8. It's expected to be 2.6 in 2050, all right? So if you look at the estimated number of dwellings we're going to need for 2050 versus what we've got now. So at the moment, we've got 630-odd rateable properties, and they include things like farm and lifestyle. So we are going to need a lot more housing capacity to meet population. And I think what the government is trying to do is allow us to give developers options in both style and type, but also in, you know, enough to keep kind of prices restrained. I won't say necessarily affordable, but I'll certainly say restrained.
Are we expecting much pushback from central government on this, and when can we expect to hear some feedback from them on these principles?
Look, I'm not really sure. I think when we need to get feedback pretty smartly. I was at the Minister Bishop's presentation at the Committee for Auckland when he did reduce, you know, when he did talk about reduction of the number. And look, I, you know, my personal view is I think 1.6 is still giving you enough capacity. Remembering, 2 million was every single property going to its maximum, you know, and that is just not going to happen. So I think, you know, it's that sort of sweet spot between lowering it down a little bit, but not so much that you take away the fact that Auckland does need, you know, more housing choices and more options around that. So it's just trying to get that balance. I don't know what Cabinet or the government have decided. I'm not party to that. You'd have to have a conversation with the ministers. But we will hear back. Because there's a whole lot of things we still don't know. How do Aucklanders have another say? What you know? Because there are no maps. The minister, you know, we've had that debate between the two political parties on maps. So how will Auckland know what the sort of slightly tweaked maps will look like, and how do they have their say? We don't really know about that yet. All we know is that the time frame to get all this completed isn't going to change, and of course that's all to be done by the end of next year.
It's looking like a very long process that feels like a lot of back and forth, eh? But I guess that's just how these things tend to go, or is it specific to this because of the way that we've sort of had all these scaling backs and reforms while things have already been underway?
Yeah, I think, as I said, I think the time frame for all this hasn't changed, but some of the goalposts have changed in the middle, you know. But anyway, let's see what the government say back, and we go from there. Because at the end of the day, remember that the government do have that ability to override you know, us on certain things. A lot of us don't particularly like that, but that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, we'll be sure to catch up when further developments happen. I just quickly wanted to touch on something that a lot of our listeners are really passionate about, and it is invasive plant management. Are we right in understanding that in public spaces, invasive plants are the council's responsibility to deal with?
Yeah, that is correct.
Yeah.
And look, I love Auckland and I love it to be the best and, you know, have some fantastic achievements. But one of the things I'm not so happy about is that we are known as one of the weediest cities in the world.
Yes.
And that's because we have had introduced plants and animal, well, plants in this case, but just like the animals, like just like rats and possums, which have flourished because they've been introduced to our great country. The same goes with plants. And we do actively manage vegetation along both the road and corridor and in our parks. But look, they can become an issue. And a lot of people actually don't know what are weeds and what aren't. I mean, for example, I've always liked jasmine. I thought it was wonderful. It smelled nice and, you know, creeped along. But it's actually a weed and it's very invasive. And, and you know, a lot of people don't know. So I think there's a lot of education that can happen, you know, just to identify weeds that you might see in your garden and you don't even know. Because, you know, plants and especially weed plants, you know, our lovely bird life, we encourage more bird life, but actually they are one of the, you know, transporters of weeds to go to other places along with wind and everything else. But look, I want to share a bit of an initiative that people can talk about their local boards. Moth plant is terrible. It is horrible. One of the terrible invasive species. And my local board is doing a great thing. In fact, they've done it for 6 years. They have a moth plant competition. And they go into schools and they get people, they get the kids out finding and identifying moth plants on private property, especially, and cut it down, right? And they, you know, they have had a huge amount of success. As I said, they've been going for 6 years. And I mean, they last year they collected over 38,000 pods. Now, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And if you look at 700 seeds per pod, that's about 27 million seeds not germinating across the Ōrākei local board area because these kids run this competition. It educates them about weeds. It tells them how to identify this particular weed, moth plant, and they are told how to collect it safely. And it's a competition. Kids love competitions and they get prizes. And it's really good to help cut down the weeds.
So is the council planning more initiatives like this, or are they planning, you know, are you planning to kind of further develop the invasive plant management team, or is it just kind of we're at the capacity we can be at?
No, I don't think we're at capacity. We have a really good, you know, program, but like everything else, you know, it's monitored along with our live pests, you know. But, you know, as I said, the more that the community can get involved in weed management, the better. I mean, we have, again, I'm looking at Ōrākei local board area, which I know incredibly well. We have some fantastic volunteer groups that go out and assist too. But I suppose the message is, you know, educate yourself on what is a weed versus what is a plant. And we should be trying to regenerate our city with more natives as opposed to you know, plants that are brought into our country and that, you know, that aren't good for our biodiversity. I mean, big shout out to the people at Auckland Airport, eh? Because, you know, a big part of what they do is checking for plant, you know, plant people bring in seeds to plant, you know, through the airport.
I just want to touch on one text has mentioned that the strategy for weed management, and I understand that we have the Waitakere region, which is incredibly difficult to kind of manage the landscape because it's so hilly and whatnot and bushy, but they're saying that the strategy out there has been blanket spraying and then there's been no attempt to come and collect the debris from the team. Do you have a plan for that?
Well, I do know that in ecologically sensitive areas like the Waitakere Ranges, council does undertake targeted buffer zone weed control And we have a special Waitakere Ranges weed management policy. And I'm just trying to rack my brain to remembering, you know, the detail of that. And sorry,
is it
I'm
online?
Coming up. It will be, definitely.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And that is obviously a specific policy to help limit the spread of invasive weeds into high-value forest and ecosystem areas, and that's why we have a special one for that. You know, on the spray, yes, we do spray, and, you know, there's a lot of debate around to spray or to not spray, but where you don't want spray, I mean, there's parts of, again, parts of my ward that aren't, that are spray-free, you can ask to have, you know, spray-free areas in your area. There is a huge cost implication, and I mean, and that is always a consideration when you're doing absolutely everything in a city, as to how much, you know, money you can target for certain things. But look, it is one of a number, you know, weed management is one of a number of things our wonderful parks people do to look after our, you know, fantastic ecosystem in the city.
Mm. Thank you so much, Desley, for your time this morning. It's been wonderful chatting.
It's all right. I hope your people get out and explore the Auckland Arts Festival for what it is, because it finishes on Sunday. Mm. There's so much to see and do in the city. We've got ASB Pacific Festival too, Manukau Sports Bowl in the weekend as well. So lots to see, lots to do. Get out and enjoy our great city. Weather's great too, which always helps.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Desley. Have a good day.
No worries.
We'll catch up with you in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Thanks, girls.
Bye. Bye.
That was Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.